Called order. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Thursday, April 12th. I will recognize Senator Miller. Senate Bill. 5538 Department.
Senate Bill 5538 is the budget bill for the Department of State Police. This budget comes to you from the Public Safety Subcommittee, where it passed out with unanimous support. The recommended budget totals $351.9 million, of which the general and lottery fund support is approximately $178 million. The recommended general and lottery fund budget is $454,800 below the governor's recommended budget. The reduction is primarily due to reductions in charges for PERS, AG, audits, DAS, and telecommunications. The subcommittee redirected savings created by implementation of management reduction plan, redirected savings from vacant position salary reductions, and from the elimination of unused seasonal positions, and reallocated funds from within the department's services and supplies budget to fully restore 30 detectives and 16 patrol troopers eliminated in the governor's rec budget. Provide funding necessary to cover costs to implement a required education differential. Provide funding necessary to resolve sergeant salary compression issues. Provide funding necessary to partially address overtime shift differential shortages. And provide funding to cover costs associated with periodic use of temporary employees. Subcommittee established a list of priority restorations should there, in the unlikely event, be an opportunity to increase the level of funding for this budget. The subcommittee also provided the department with specific budget note directives relating to maintenance of minimum field enforcement staffing levels, performance of an internal organizational review, completion of a mission and priorities review, participation in an aviation asset review panel, and submission of interim reports on technology projects. Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously recommends approval, and Mr. O'Chairs, as I indicated in an earlier meeting with you this morning, this is a budget of which your Public Safety Subcommittee is particularly proud. I'm sure that Representatives Hansen, Senator Troll, would agree with that assessment. Our particular thanks to Representatives Leonard and Doyle, who spent a great number of hours with the Superintendent of State Police and his staff, and we are thankful to their cooperation for this reorganization. And I also want to tip my hat to Mr. Nicewender, who spent inordinate time on this budget, and this is a work product of which we are justly proud. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chair.
Any questions? Senator Troll.
I just wanted to add that that I think the efforts made on this budget were exceptional, and I think they were well done, and I think they will result in putting a lot of police out into the field, state police out of the field, out of offices, and in more direct service to the public, and it's, I think the subcommittee did a very good job, and I commend the chair for superintending that.
Thank you, sir. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Was there any discussion in committee as to how the legislature will be assured that this time around that the positions being restored in the budget will actually, they'll actually hire an officer versus taking the dollars and spending it some other place?
That was certainly an emphasis we had in the discussions. I'd say, Mr. Nicewender, I'm looking for his assurances, but we tried to continue to eliminate those unfilled positions, and that's been really our effort in all of the work that we've had within our subcommittee, is to try to actually put people in positions. Mr. Nicewender, anything to add to that?
Yes, Chair and committee members, in our discussions, we did fully fund those positions for 24 months, the 30 restorations for detectives and the 16 patrol officers. So the expectation wouldn't be that they would be able to delay hiring late into the biennium. So unless there are unforeseen circumstances that would cause them to come into the e-board to report neat reasons to delay, the expectation would be that they would all be hired for the full biennium.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I was just speaking with Senator Miller out in the hall about the possibility
of exploring the use of the remaining state police airplane for legislative business on a fee-for-service kind of arrangement. If it is the policy of the state of Oregon that it is a good thing to have legislative committees do away trips, and, for example, the House Transportation meet in Ontario, that the legislators ought to be transported there in a safe, appropriate aircraft with qualified pilots. And as long as that airplane exists, to figure out a mechanism to transport committees on legislative business only, fee for service, in a way that's appropriate to get the committee to the destination. And Senator Miller indicated that that might be a possibility to explore perhaps during the interim, to set up a protocol for how the airplane could be used and what appropriate fees might be to allow that to happen.
Mr. Chairman, if I might respond to that, that's correct. My response to Representative Johnson was that we discovered in the course of examining the use of the state police airplane that, as it was originally solicited, the two planes were for SWAT teams. Turns out that they used it, I think it was less than 8% of the missions were for the SWAT teams. My recollection is it was something near 25% of the missions were used by the governor's office, which is just fine, except, at least in terms of the way it's budgeted, there was no compensation, no payment for the use of that aircraft reflected in the governor's budget. It all came out of the state police budget. It just seems to me, as Representative Johnson has suggested, that if we want to maintain what might be better titled as state aircraft, that those who want to use it, they would have some budgetary means of affording it and pay for it. And I would just say, with respect to the legislator trips, there has been an awful lot of support, I think, from the public for one-way trips. Round trips that I'm aware of and supported. But, yeah.
That's the record.
Commissioner Chair.
Let the record show that Representative Johnson has again not missed an opportunity to promote general aviation in this great
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think after we pass this budget, I would just as soon not be on the state police aircraft, but that's a different issue. We may use some other avenues of transit.
That's it?
Yeah.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But I would encourage some exploration since I thought I was on a one-way trip on one of the on one of our missions, and it is pretty scary. So the safety, I think, of this body is important, and I would encourage the exploration. I think Representative Johnson knows quite well what occurred when we had our trip to Medford, and all the committee arrived there except for the chair, yours truly. So anything you can do to assist us to get to our destination would be appreciated.
You might not have arrived, but you got back safely. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On a little more serious note, I still remain concerned about state police and their ability to follow the legislative direction. Give them a budget note on information technology last time. They coordinate the CGIS group. They didn't follow through with that budget note. That's why we recommended an unscheduling piece there. They didn't fulfill the troopers that we restored to them last time. There was also a request last budget session for to get rid of one of the King Airs last legislative session at the end of the session, plus financially. We had to fill a hole during the end of the budget process in a scramble. So I remain concerned about the management at the state police. I know we've replaced superintendents, but I think it's important to put that on the record, at least from my perspective. I'm glad that the budget committee spent time and work and everything else, but as someone who sat on their budget committee last time and who had seen their budget this time, and especially the IT portion, we were asking for some very specific things last time and had 2 days worth of hearings. LFO worked with them, and they didn't do what we asked there either. I still remain concerned about their ability to follow through on especially as we restore troopers and do other things, their ability to follow through and do what this legislative body requests them to do. So I'll vote for this budget because I appreciate the work of the committee, but I don't see anyone from state police here, so I don't know.
Well, I chaired the Public Safety Ways and Means Subcommittee last time, and while I certainly share your concern, Representative, I, for one, have every confidence in Superintendent Rucker and am willing to give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves otherwise, and to date, I think he's done an excellent job. So let's go forth in good faith and expect that he will follow what I know he wants to follow, which is the directive of this legislative body. Any other questions on state police budget?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chairman, members, I wasn't going to say anything, but I feel compelled. Going back to the 1980s, the state police are today are one half of where they were in the 1980s. And it's easy to criticize an agency and say, well, they don't do this and they don't do that. They haven't done this and they haven't done that. They haven't discarded this airplane. They haven't fulfilled this charge. This is an agency that probably for the last 20 to 25 years has been yanked around like an agency on the end of a bungee cord. At one time, the state troopers were told, don't unionize, we'll take good care of you. They were taken such good care of by the legislature that they cut their salaries. And so what they do, they went out and organized. And I'm reminded of a story my father taught me as a young child, that I was kicking the dog one time, and my father reminded me that if you kick the dog enough times, the dog's going to turn around and bite you. And I think this agency is one of those that's been kicked around by the legislature, been criticized by its airplane, it's been criticized by its staff, it's been criticized by its budget process, it's been criticized by its management. It's gone through a great deal of change and adjustments in the last few years. But one thing has remained steadfast, and that is the average troops out on the freeways and the highways doing their job. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind my colleagues that we can chastise management from time to time all we want, but it's the line officers and the people out in the field who do the job, who bring credibility to the agency, who have fought long and hard for the integrity of the agency. And I would not be doing my job as a legislator if I didn't stand up and defend this agency, who has come under a great deal of criticism, adjustment, modifications, and so forth over my tenure here in the legislature. And one last thing I would say in commending the committee and the subcommittee's work, I would like to thank them for the work that they did. I am sorrowful if one thing happened, that the governor's office did not show greater participation in the work of the subcommittee. Rather than throwing roadblocks in front of the subcommittee and trying to thwart its efforts and trying to come up with a constructive budget for this agency, I wish they would have been a more proactive player at the table. As of late yesterday, a person from the governor's office who handles the state police indicated there's concern with this bill even as of late yesterday. And I feel this way, that if you want to make your impact felt in the budgetary process, then come and sit at the budgetary table. Don't stand on the side aisle and lob hand grenades in and criticize the agency, its personnel, or the legislators for trying to do a sincere, honest job. So, Senator Miller, I commend you and the subcommittee's work. I think you've come a long ways in trying to meet the public's concerns and issues about having more law enforcement officials out on the highways and the freeways. And I want to thank you and the subcommittee's work for your efforts in the subcommittee.
Any further questions? State police budget. Any further discussion? Any objections to passing Senate Bill 5538 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Another excellent budget from the committee chaired by Senator Miller. Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, Senate Bill 5541, Senator Trowe.
Thank you. 5541 is the budget bill for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. The department is responsible for developing and maintaining standards for recruitment and providing statewide training for over 32,000 law enforcement officers, fire service personnel, correctional officers, parole and probation officers, private security personnel, and telecommunication officers. This budget is not supported by the general fund. The main source of revenue is the unitary assessment added to all fines and bail forfeitures. Other revenue sources include fire insurance premium taxes and federal grant funds. The budget for the board consists of $25.5 million in other funds expenditure limitation and approximately 108 full-time employees. The overall budget increase from 1991-1901 estimated expenditures is primarily due to staffing increases focused on regional training, distance learning, and to address debt service on certificates of participation proposed to be issued to finance construction of a core training facility. These enhancements are consistent with the department's strategic business plan, which was developed based on input from its constituents and the governing board, with, I think, some advice over time from the legislature. The subcommittee identified approximately $1.1 million in other funds reductions to the governor's recommended budget based on adjustments to debt service to rebalance criminal fines and assessment account allocations, vacant position salary adjustments, delayed hiring of three position, and reductions to the AG, DAS, audit, and PERS, and telecommunication charges. Additionally, the subcommittee added back approximately $170,000 to provide funding to continue a facilities project manager. The net impact of these adjustments is still a budget that is $921,212 lower than the governor's recommended budget. The budget note requires the department work with the Office of State Fire Marshal to identify potential ways to enhance the amount of revenue available to support Oregon's fire programs and to comprehensively analyze cost factors impacting training, facility siting decisions, design options, and phase-in scenarios prior to submission of a request for additional facility funding. The subcommittee unanimously recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator. Any question on DPSST? Representative Schrader.
very supportive of DPSST. Just a question regarding how we can pass the budget out when we don't actually have a figure yet for the cost of facility training.
I don't know that we're going to pass it out immediately, but if we do, then there are other legislative vehicles for including that. I think we'd ask Mr. Nicewinder to explain that.
Yes, Chair and committee members, this bill is the operating budget for the department. There is a capital construction bill, House Bill 5029, that will address in part possibly the facility construction costs. We expect that they may be able to come back before the end of session with a site selection and a request for funding to get through programming and design, probably be at the e-board in the interim with a comprehensive plan for construction that's just not just not ready.
Any further questions? Any discussions? You know, I'd just like to say, before we vote, sometimes certain budgets seem to get more profile and more attention, both from the media and members outside the Ways and Means process. But I don't think we can say enough as we laud the noble mission of Oregon State Police and indeed all of our public safety officers. I don't think we can compliment enough the role that our training facility does. I think Diane Middle is doing an excellent job over there, and she is to be commended, as is the subcommittee. Again, this is another excellent budget, and I thank you for your work. No further questions, no further discussion. Any objection to passing Senate Bill 5541 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation?
It's mostly for the...
Seeing none?
The
no?
No, it's not enough.
Seeing none? So ordered. Other business to come before the committee. Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that the Ways and Means Committee deny approval of a retroactive grant application by the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in the amount of $19,000 to conduct watershed restoration funding workshops. OWEB learned of the availability of EPA funds for conducting watershed restoration funding workshops in mid-January. The agency then submitted the grant application to EPA on February the 14th, one day before the February 15th deadline for grant submittal. OWEB explained to the subcommittee that the agency assumed approval for the application could be obtained during the hearing on the agency's budget, and that sufficient federal funds limitation existed in the current biennium for expenditure of the funds. The subcommittee believes, however, that a consistent approach to federal grant applications needs to be followed by all agencies during the interim and during the session. The subcommittee recommends that the retroactive grant application request be denied.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
And Senator Duncan.
Representative Morgan, I have a question. It seems like several states were involved with this, and I'm just curious, is this creating, going to create any embarrassment to the state of Oregon? For, I mean, sort of being involved in something and then the legislature takes it away? I just asked that question. I don't know.
The agency has not yet heard whether they are have been granted the money by the Environmental Protection Agency, and the committee felt very strongly that we needed to hold all of the agencies to the same standard on this issue, and that this was a pretty benign lesson for OWEB to learn.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'll support the chairman of the subcommittee for natural resources on Ways and Means because I believe that she's on the right track here. The having chaired that committee myself in the last legislative session, we often encounter situations where agencies simply assume authority to do things and then assume that the legislature will grant the authority retroactively. I'd like to remind the committee, we were in session. The application deadline was mid-February. We were in the building. We actually already heard OWEB testimony, and it would have been a small matter to come before the committee and ask for the authority to do the grant application, which I'm sure the committee would have been happy to grant at the point in time that it would have been appropriate for a prospective application. The fact is that there are legislative oversight responsibilities in this body, and the lack of approval on this is not fatal to the projects. So, and I don't think will be embarrassing in a global sense, but I do think it sends a strong message that we will be consistent on getting authority from the legislature to make grant applications, because after all, we'd still have to raise their spending limitation. And at the very least, it's reasonable to assume that the agencies would notify the chairs of the appropriate committee that they're going to have to come back and get an expenditure limitation increase to cover the proceeds of the grant application if it's approved. So I think the chairman's exactly right. The committee felt very strongly about this issue, and I commend the chairman for bringing what I think is a courageous motion before the Full Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Trump.
I sort of hate to see us lose the money and see this program set back. Having been around here a long time, I know that we have approved a lot of these things that have been applied for retroactively. And I do know we want some discipline in the process, so maybe it does make sense to slap them on the hands and not allow them to do this. But we ought to be consistent, because sometimes we approve them and sometimes we don't, and we're not consistent.
Senator Hannan.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my good friend from Corvallis, I've tried to be consistent. My consistency has said no. My consistency has said there's a process to go through. There's a consistency to saying to an agency, all you have to do is tell us ahead of time when you have knowledge of it, not 3 months afterwards, and expect us to rubber stamp it. They knew about this in January. It is now April 11th or 12th. And for us to get this kind of notice is an insult to the legislative process. The agency knew well in advance about this, and I would hope that we fire this exorcist missile across the bow of the ships of state agencies, that they understand that we're going to take our job very seriously. That if they expect us to come in and rubber stamp their after-the-fact application for grants, it's not going to be accepted. And my good friend from Corvallis, let's be consistent. Let's reject these. Let's not blindly go on and say, well, I'm just going to close one eye and wink to you and approve it. $19,000 is very minimal price to pay. And I just wish it was $19 million so we could really send a message as loud and clear. But if you want to play games, bring the message to the messenger ahead of time, not after the fact.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Trump.
The co-chair has convinced me. I certainly wouldn't vote against him on this. but I would say that when we have new directors of agencies and they don't really know a whole lot about what's going on, that we let them know in advance they're expected to do this, so that they're not caught just out of the newness of what they're doing. And I don't know whether this is the case in this one or not, but if we're consistent and if we also let people know so that they do know they should do this, then there's no excuse for them not doing it.
Mr. Chair, I will not debate the issue, but Department of Administrative Services has been in existence for quite a few years. And they had knowledge of this back in January, and it's their role and responsibility to tell their agency heads what the procedures are, and it's not for me to oversight their administration.
And I agree with you, Senator Trow. We're letting them know.
Yeah. Okay.
Any further discussions? Any objections to denying the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board's federal grant application request? Seeing none, so ordered. I'd like to take a small diversion from our schedule here and acknowledge three distinguished members that have just joined us in the back. Why don't you stand, gentlemen? We have three members, representatives from the Hungarian Parliament, that are visiting our august capital today, and we appreciate your attendance, and we thank you very much for honoring us with your presence. Thank you. Further business to come before the committee: Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Water Resources Department, Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Department of Environmental Quality. Comes to us from the Natural Resources Subcommittee. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is the other side of the equation, what happens when you do the process right. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that the Ways and Means Committee approve submission of a federal grant application by four state agencies to the Bonneville Power Administration's Northwest Power Planning Council for endangered species and watershed restoration recovery projects in the Columbia Plateau Province, with the understanding that any state agency receiving project funding from the application will return to the legislature for project review and for federal funds expenditure limitation. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board is seeking approval of an application to BPA on behalf of state agencies with responsibilities for the protection of restoration of fish, wildlife, and watershed health in the Columbia Plateau Province of the Columbia Basin. As recommended by the Natural Resources Subcommittee, the application consists of 15 project proposals totaling $20.4 million to cover a three-year period. The deadline for application submittal is April 13th. The opportunity to apply for recovery funds in this region, consisting of the Deschutes, John Day, Umatilla, and Walla Walla River basins, will not occur for another 3 years under the Council's new rolling review process. Seven projects involving land or in-stream water right acquisitions were removed from the original project list. The subcommittee discussed the addition of a project involving the purchase of a perpetual conservation easement on the Holiday and Crown Ranch riparian corridors and uplands. The project was recommended for inclusion in the application, but the subcommittee expects to receive additional project details during any Department of Fish and Wildlife budget hearings. The subcommittee recommends approval of the modified application request with the condition that any agency receiving funding from the application will return to the legislature for a detailed project review and expenditure limitation increase.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Representative Hayden.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this may be an example in large part of doing it right. However, I have some concerns, if not a red flag, perhaps a yellow flag, on part two of two, which reached the subcommittee, it's my understanding, without due diligence, without adequate staff time for review by the counties or by staff as to the impact that this would have. I was told that it reached the committee desk 5 minutes before we voted on it. It's labeled a high priority proposal review, and I would draw the committee's attention to part two of two, page four, paragraph two, line one, which says, protection of 15,532 acres of uplands from subdivision. Now, Mr. Chairman, I consider subdivision of upland property a beneficial use. It protects river bottoms for farming and for agriculture. It provides housing for future generations of Oregonians, for our children. It provides property taxes to the county in question. So I'm not sure that this is a wise use of BPA resources. As I understand the proposal, BPA will advance $4.5 million to purchase these conservation easements at a time when PG&E is going bankrupt for lack of cash. I marvel at the ability of BPA to have that kind of financial stewardship. However, the $4.5 million in ratepayer costs will be borne by you and me and our constituents. The strongest argument that the staff made to me in approving this grant application, and it is an approval for application, not for payment of the funds, the strongest argument they made was that there's a high probability that the grant will not be approved, that there's a 1 in 5 chance that it will not be approved. And I don't see that as a particularly strong or meritorious argument for approving a grant request. We just denied one grant request on perhaps more equivocal grounds than this. So I don't say that I would be opposed to doing this, but I do say that I would like more information. I would like the local officials to have more time on this. And if we do need to wait 3 years, I don't think that's an enormously high price to pay, because the land is going to go into... The land is currently not being developed, and there is no plans to development under this proposal. So, Mr. Chairman, I would repeat my no vote in full committee as I did in subcommittee.
Thank you, Representative. Perhaps we could ask Mr. Rocco to clarify the $4.5 million federal funds. I don't know if that's generated from ratepayers or BPA is just the pass-through agency.
Mr. Chair, this is a pot of money that the Northwest Power Planning Council has for required mitigation that they have to do in the basin. And there are other states, tribes, and federal agencies applying for the money. They've identified approximately $15 million available for this particular province for the next 3 years. And Oregon's application is in excess of that amount, and that does not even include the 13 tribes, three other states, and at least two other federal agencies will be applying for the same amount of money.
Thank you, Ken. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the committee will indulge me for just a minute or two. Two ranches side by side under incredible pressure from environmental pressures, salmon issues, riparian management issues, all sorts of limitations of use brought by environmental issues. Low cattle prices, the Endangered Species Act. One of the landowners clearly deciding that ranching is not in her future, the Carter Ranches. And she made a decision that rather than try to stay in the battle, that she would accept an offer from a developer who would bring in a subdivision at 80 acres per unit. And that's the area the uplands are zoned for 80-acre parcel sizes. There is already a checkerboard ownership there, but that would further subdivide that ownership into what I would consider, and most folks from Eastern Oregon would consider, non-agronomic parcels. They won't be ranches. They'll be mini ranches. They also would add, as Cedric Hayden mentions, to the store of property on the tax rolls and would have a value in the community for economic development. But the non-agronomic use means it would be a substantial change of that use to other uses, residential. Bull trout habitat, salmon spawning areas, elk habitat, antelope habitat, and the uplands are all at stake. In this particular configuration, the Bonneville Power Administration, the tribes, the Northwest Power Planning Council, the OWEB, and the private landowners have all agreed that by protecting the riparian corridor, you could keep the rest of the uplands, about 15,000 acres, in production as cattle ranching, which is the primary industry in that rural area. If the application is approved today, it doesn't give the agency limitation to spend these dollars. It means that they get another chance to come back here and justify what it is that they're trying to accomplish, which is a new approach to adding a couple of non-viable ranches together to make one viable ranch and protect the habitat. It's clearly an expression of the idea that a public benefit merits public investment. And I will remind the committee that the Power Planning Council is doing this in the course of their obligated mitigation. They must spend their money on the high priority projects. This is in a high priority designation in the province where they will be spending this money. I think this is an opportunity to send a pretty strong message that we approve of high priority projects. We want benefit to accrue to the community. If we have to do something to protect habitat and increase the viability of species pursuant to our obligations under the Endangered Species Act, we ought to try to do that in a way that also supports the local economy. This does. So I would urge an aye vote.
Well stated, Senator. Let's hear from the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This particular application did have a lot of discussion in the subcommittee, and I think that Senator Farioli has done a good job of outlining the application. There was a lot of discussion around the fact that it wasn't within the purview of this grant application to change the way that BPA was mandated to allocate their money, that they were under federal mandate to spend a certain amount of our ratepayer dollars on habitat recovery and water quality issues, and that this was part of the program, and that really the choice for the committee was to be involved in the program or not be involved in the program, and that we essentially had no control in this arena over the rates that the agency is going to charge us for electricity in the future. And I think that discussion was fairly fully aired. The other part of the discussion that was given a lot of time was the fact that we are giving the agency permission to apply for the grant only, and that if they are awarded the grant, they'll be back into the legislative system, and at that point we'll have an opportunity to have a very detailed discussion about what the parameters of the grant are, what the local situation is, what the negotiations are that have taken place in the local arena, and what will unfold here, and who will be the beneficiaries of what will happen. And at that point, I think it would be appropriate to make the decision about whether this was a wise move to make or not in giving the agency the ability to spend the money. So I would very much encourage this committee to move these grant proposals forward, allow the ones that do make it through the grant system, if any of them do, to be appropriately discussed at that point in the system.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, in terms of if any of these grants are approved, then they'll be back before the appropriate committees to discuss limitation. And so I just see that there are $250,000 here for some GIS things which may or may not already be occurring. I'm just curious. We don't spend money twice.
It will come back before the appropriate legislative committee. Any further questions? Any further discussions? Any objections to approving the grant request? Let the record show, Representative Hayden is no. Also, before I bang the gavel, I'd also like to recognize Representative Hayden and appreciate the fact that you read your reports. Voice your objection.
Due diligence, Mr. Chair.
Due diligence, that's what we're here for. Recording only one objection to approving the grant request. It is so ordered. We're so approved. Any announcements from anybody? Have a great weekend. Make sure we honor it in the spirit as intended.